Thank you very much, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here. And as the Secretary mentioned, I've also for the last year been serving as the acting director of a new office within USDA called the Office of Environmental Markets. And one of the functions of that office is to create these partnerships with industry to improve environmental quality and conservation. And so there's a lot of interesting work going on within NRCS. I believe you were briefed by NRCS earlier this morning through their Innovation Grants Program, through our office on in terms of trying to quantify environmental goods and services to really build out these partnerships. And in fact, it is a great reason to come to work every day. My primary long-standing job is to be the director of the Climate Change Program Office. And many people don't realize that we focus on climate change within USDA, but we've had a program that's gone all the way back to 1990. There was an act of Congress called the Global Climate Change Prevention Act of 1990, which directed the Secretary to have a director of global change. And its mission is to integrate climate change into the planning and functioning of the department. And it's a work in progress. It was initially primarily a research program. Increasingly, we're integrating what we're finding into our programs, into our conservation activities, into our farm service programs, into rural development. And so, next slide. I've got a short presentation. Hopefully, it'll be short. We'll keep it short. I'll move through it very quickly. The first question folks ask is, why should we care about climate change as farmers and ranchers? Farmers are affected by the climate. More than almost any other sector of the U.S. economy, climate variability and change affects farmers' decisions. It affects profitability. It turns out that CO2, one of the primary drivers of anthropogenic or human-caused climate change, has an effect on plants and can fertilize and improve plant productivity. And as it also turns out, agriculture and forest systems are part of the climate system as well, and can both regulate greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere by taking carbon out of the atmosphere and storing it in plants and soils. But there are agricultural activities are also a source of greenhouse gas emissions, accounting for about 6% of U.S. emissions. And as a consequence, there are significant opportunities for agriculture and forestry to play part in efforts to combat and address climate change. So next slide. So is the climate changing? Unfortunately, it is. And there's a lot of evidence of that from many streams. It's not simply climate models. There's observation records. There's the underlying understanding of the relationship between greenhouse gases and the climate system. There's the evidence. And we've seen a warming, especially over the last 40 years, but over the last 100 years as well. And that change is accelerating. In fact, if you look over the past 15 years, either 13 or 14 of the warmest years in the last 100 have occurred just in the last 15 years since 1997. And in fact, 2012 was the warmest year on record within the continental United States and exceeded the previous record by almost a full degree. And so, the question isn't so much is the climate changing, but how rapidly is it changing? And in fact, some of that's going to depend on how humans respond. This graph is from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in the U.S. Climate Change Science Program, and it shows projections of the future. And what we expect over the next century is not only do we expect to see continued climate change, but the pace of change is expected to accelerate, especially if greenhouse gas emissions don't decline. And so the concern there for agriculture is that while we've been able to adapt and manage the changes we've seen, in fact, adapt to them very successfully in many ways, we've seen changes of about 0.2 degrees per decade. Keep going through these two next slides. There. And one more. What we expect to see, especially over the second half of the next century, is that the rate of change is going to accelerate to somewhere between 0.6 and 0.8 degrees per decade. And in some ways, for farmers and farm management and farm operations, that's going to be a challenge. Dealing with a small, relatively slow degrees of warming are things that farmers have demonstrated they can adapt to. As the pace of change accelerates, that's going to cause increased problems. So what's USDA doing about this? Well, first of all, we continue with a robust research program. We just, in the last 4 months, released two major scientific assessments, one looking at the effects of climate change on forest systems, one looking at the effects of climate change on agriculture and grazing lands. Next slide. And it turns out the changes aren't the same across the United States. And there are two things that we're really concerned about. One is temperature, and the other is precipitation and rain patterns. And in some ways, water drives agricultural concerns even more than temperature does. While we are expecting to see longer growing seasons, some risks due to higher temperatures for livestock, some of the real effects and concerns about climate change have to do with water, water availability, moisture. And there, the future is more uncertain. The ability for the climate models that we use to accurately project or predict how climate's going to affect water systems is less well understood than our understanding about temperature changes. And so we see a lot of variability in the projections. We see generally that areas in the Southwest are likely to become drier, and the Western states are likely to become drier, and the Northeast is expected to become wetter, but there's a lot of noise in that. Next slide. So how does this affect commodities? Well, that varies as well. Some commodities like corn and like rice in particular are very sensitive at particular points in time during their development. And so if you're for corn, high nighttime temperatures can create problems with pollination. That's also true for rice as well. Soybean fares pretty well under high temperatures, but can be threatened by water stress. For crops like cotton, the critical time in the life cycle is during a boll fill. And so what we found through our research is not just it's the average temperatures or it's the changes over the growing season, it's the changes in extreme events at particular points in time during the life cycle that are going to end up being most problematic. And then for crops that are important for regions, like fruit trees or specialty crops, there are specific climate concerns. And in fact, many of the reasons why those crops are grown in particular regions, it's because they're well adapted to specific climate systems. And there, we expect to see changes in terms of both how they're managed and changes in the ideal regions where those crops are grown. Next slide. So the picture about climate change in the U.S. and agriculture is not a national picture. It's a regional picture. We look at the effects in the Northeast, and there, we're going to advance through this. And a lot of this is probably too small for you to see, but, you know, there we expect to see longer growing season. We expect to see more moisture. But for certain, so there could be some benefits to agriculture in the Northeast, but there are also going to be some threats, especially in the summer with high temperatures and how that could affect livestock. Next slide. Next. Within the Southeast, drought is going to be a particular concern. There, some of the temperature increases, could be problematic in that we could actually reach some of the physiological limits of certain crops, so they may need to change sort of the optimal time of when they're planted. And we expect to see increases in disease and pests and pathogens because climate change doesn't just affect the crops. It affects the systems and the insects and the pathogens. Changes in the climate conditions can cause, greater increases of pest outbreaks. Next. So when we get to the northern plains, we start to see where we're going to be concerned about water, water availability, moisture. We will see warmer winters. We will see rises in temperature, but we'll also see changes in extreme events and changes in water availability. That's true for the Southeast as well. And there it's not just rainfall. It's for the southern plains and the intermountain region, a lot of their moisture comes from the snowpack, and a lot of it's stored in the snowpack. So if we see more precipitation and rain and rather than snow, it not only affects soil moisture, but it also affects water storage. And that's a significant concern in the intermountain region. And then when we get to the Pacific Northwest and the western states, We see effects on specialty crops. We see changes in, again, the changes in snowpack and changes in extreme events. So next slide. So as we move forward within the department, the secretary mentioned that we're doing a lot of research, but we're also integrating climate change into our programs. In 2012, at the direction of the secretary, for the first time, we issued a department-wide climate change adaptation plan. 11 agencies have specific plans, and we have over 80 specific actions that we've identified within the department to make our programs more resilient to climate change and to begin to the process of helping to serve our stakeholders as they begin to deal with climate change as well. And what does that mean in terms of building resilience? It's one, you know, understanding potential exposures, focusing not just on the averages but on the changes in the extremes, identifying those key thresholds and sensitivities, and developing the adaptive responses. And that includes crop responses, developing cultivars of crops that are going to be more drought tolerant, developing management systems, improving water use, and looking at things like double crops where there's going to be opportunities for increasing the use of double cropping, and then also making sure that farmers have the best information available. And so this is where our work ties with some of the work of the World Board and the meteorology group that are focused on things like the drought monitor and the drought.gov and information about climate systems and providing farmers with that kind of information. So very quickly, you know, when we look at agriculture as a source of greenhouse gas emissions, it's a relatively small component of U.S. emissions. It's about 6%. On the counterpart to that, forests and agriculture are a significant sink of carbon. And in fact, each year, forests primarily, but also agricultural soils, offset somewhere between 12 and 15% of all U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. And so that's a significant contribution to our net greenhouse gas balance within the country. Next slide. Within agriculture, about half the emissions come from livestock operations, both enteric fermentation, the digestive processes of ruminants, to manure management systems, to land application of manure. About a third come from cropping systems, primarily from the use of fertilizer, and about a little less than 15% come from on-farm energy use. We have an extensive program looking at ways of reducing those emissions, and there are opportunities pretty much across the board. Again, we released a report just this spring that examines technologies and practices, and it's going to be used by our conservation programs. It gets into manure management systems, anaerobic digesters, improved fertilization, the use of nitrogen inhibitors, better cropping systems, looking at conservation tillage and no-till, and then looking at opportunities to take sensitive lands out of production to store carbon. And so across the board, there are opportunities, and in every region of the country, there are opportunities. And so just to close, agriculture has and will continue to be affected by changing climate conditions. Farmers are adaptable. In the U.S., they're incredibly adaptable to changes, but they're going to be really pressed by some of the changes we expect to see over the next century, especially as the rates of change accelerate. There are many things that can be done to improve the resilience of agricultural systems. A lot of it starts with effective conservation, improving soils, and many of those practices can actually reduce greenhouse gas emissions as well.